Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
I noticed in the news that the Chicago teachers unions are refusing to return to the classroom. The teachers just don't want to go back to school. In some cases, not even virtually. It's a kind of an educational standoff. And, well, we want our kids to go back to school, but in the case of the Chicago teachers, that might not be a bad thing, because the ideas that are being pushed to the teachers and to the children in Chicago schools and in Illinois schools are truly bad educational ideas. They are rooted in critical race theory, and they're flown under the flag of what's called culturally responsive teaching and leading standards, and they're about to be exported to the entire United States through a program called iCivics, which sounds great. Civics is good. Well, that term has been hijacked by woke education mandates. Joining us to talk about those mandates, Dr. Stanley Kurtz. He's senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and author of a column for National Review Online titled "Ultra Woke Illinois Mandates Are Top Threat to U.S. Education." Dr. Kurtz, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, Todd, thanks so much for having me.
What is critical race theory?
Wow, that's a great question, Todd. Critical race theory is a political ideology that is really a child of Marxism. Whereas Karl Marx thought that society was ruled by an oppressive class of capitalists who controlled the system and oppressed the workers, critical race theory takes the same basic structure from Marxism, but switches it over to white supremacy oppressing people of color, especially blacks, everything based on oppression by race. So, for example, if you go back to the original Marxism, Karl Marx would have said all of these ideas about democratic liberties and representation in government and freedom of speech and religious liberty, those are just misdirections. Those are just tricks used by the ruling class of capitalists to make their unfair rule look fair, when in fact the system is stacked in their favor and they control everything and have to be overthrown. So critical race theory does the same thing, but it moves it into the sphere of race. It says things to the effect that ideals of freedom of speech or religious liberty are just covers for white supremacists. And we don't need to take those principles seriously. We need to break them if necessary, if that's what it takes to overthrow the power of white supremacy. So critical race theory is a kind of racial version of Marxism.
What states are adopting curricula for schools that push critical theory?
Well, right now, I think we're going to talk especially about Illinois. That is really the leader of the pack, and it hasn't been known up to now. But California is experimenting with the idea of adopting a critical race theory-based curriculum. The governor there, even though it's a very blue state, very left-leaning, the governor actually vetoed an ethnic studies curriculum that was so extreme in its embrace of critical race theory that it was too much even for California. But California is floating a slightly revised curriculum, still filled with critical race theory, and that may be approved soon. Minnesota is proposing standards for the study of history. which would adopt critical race theory. That means they would eliminate or de-emphasize such basic historical items as the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the problems of communism and socialism, and in their place put an emphasis on oppression and marginalization by race, gender, etc. But Illinois is the champion.
Give us some examples, if you would, of what children as young as kindergarten are being taught under these curricula.
Well, for example, we have a case that was just brought to light publicly a couple weeks ago in Cupertino, California. This was not official state policy or even official school policy, but an individual teacher who was a follower of critical race theory had a third grade class. And in this third grade class, he asked the students to deconstruct their identities, meaning to classify themselves by their racial and ethnic backgrounds, and then to rank themselves in terms of their power and privilege. So here we've got third graders being told that essentially they should feel guilty as if they're unfair oppressors because they've been born white or straight or male or some combination of the above.
Tell us about the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules in the Illinois General Assembly and the Culturally Responsive Teaching and Leading Standards.
Well, Todd, that's where the action is, in Illinois. And in Illinois, they're about to pass, as a state, the most extreme critical race theory-based education regulations in the country. And it's not going to happen, as you might think it would, through a conventional law passed by the legislature. Ordinarily, the Illinois House and Senate would propose a law, and they would either pass it or not. The governor would sign it and all of that. But that's not what's happening. Instead, you've got a bureaucratic process taking over the legislative process, and the Illinois State Board of Education has decided to issue some rules supposedly based on existing law, but in reality going far beyond them. And these are the rules called the Culturally Responsive Teaching and Leading Standards. It's a mouthful of bureaucratic gobbledygook, but basically it's an attempt to apply this critical race theory, this neo-Marxist theory, to education. And the only thing now that's left that could possibly stop these rules from taking effect is a single committee of the Illinois legislature called the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules. And that's the backstop that is used to try to make sure that a bureaucratic rule really doesn't go beyond what the law has authorized. Usually, unfortunately, this committee, the JCAR, Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, just rubber stamps whatever the bureaucrats churn out. But there's beginning to be pushback against this outrageous critical race theory-based rule. So maybe, just maybe, the JCR will nix it. But for that to happen, there would have to be a huge public outcry that would turn even some Democratic legislators or perhaps the governor against the rule. And that may happen, but it may not.
You say that the groundwork was already laid for the culturally responsive teaching and leading standards in Illinois schools. How so?
Well, Illinois has been at the cutting edge of a new kind of civics education. Now, when traditional and conservative people hear the word civics, their heart usually melts and they say, ah, yes, that's what we need, more civics. Teach our children about the three branches of government and the principles of our federalist system, local control, state control, and all of that. Unfortunately, nowadays, when you hear about a new civics law, it has very little to do with that. There's a new kind of civics called action civics. And what that really means is a class in which the teacher encourages the students to go out and do political protesting or lobbying. And in 99 cases out of 100, it's on behalf of some sort of left-leaning proposal like favoring gun control or the Green New Deal or some such thing. So Illinois, in 2015, passed a so-called civics law that forced teachers to discuss controversial current events in class and to organize their students for these protesting and lobbying expeditions. So we already have a situation where Illinois is encouraging students to do political protests and talking about currently controversial issues. Already, in practice, that means the teachers, who are overwhelmingly on the left themselves, are leading their students in a leftward political direction. But this new rule will make that official. It actually will dictate that teachers teach from a progressive perspective. And if you combine the new rule with the existing demands of the Illinois civics law, you have a prescription to completely politicize classes and turn students into left-wing activists.
Do we know anything of where the Illinois civics law came from, what its genesis was?
Well, it came out of Chicago, and the people who sponsored it tended to be admirers of community organizing, the tradition begun by Saul Alinsky, the sort of, again, very left-leaning tradition. President Barack Obama famously came up through the ranks in Chicago as a community organizer. So these are folks who are on the far left of the Democratic Party. Their sympathies lean in the socialist direction, and their goal is to spur activism among the populace, and essentially they decided one day that why don't we try to community organize the schools? And this is where this whole idea of action civics, civics as protest for current controversies, emerged. And Illinois is a sufficiently blue state that they were able to impose this on the rest of the state. And now they're moving to the next stage, which is to formally require that the teachers actually teach from a politically progressive perspective, which is shocking.
So what will teachers be required to do under the new standards if they are successful?
Well, first of all, as I've said, and most shockingly and amazingly of all, it literally will be in the requirements for teacher licensure and certification that they must teach from a progressive political perspective. And then, to specify further, teachers have to affirm the United States is a systemically racist country. That is another proposition of critical race theory. And crucially for traditionally religious people, teachers will have to affirm the multiplicity of genders and the fluidity of gender identity. And of course, this would be a grave violation of conscience and religious liberty for traditionally religious teachers. So this is really outrageous. And the teachers will be formally required to lead their students in protests and lobbying and activism for social justice. And while it won't be formally required, teachers will be encouraged to grade their students on their social justice activism. So instead of grading little Jane or Johnny on their marks on their math exam or their reading exam, they should be marked instead on whether they're doing the right kind of social justice protest activity. And finally, if you're a teacher and you don't do these things, and maybe there's some complaints lodged against you, well, the law doesn't mandate it. It would become very easy, based on this law, for the schools to force a teacher into therapy for what's called white fragility, where they would have to overcome their whiteness, quote unquote. So this is an extremely severe and extreme politically biased law, the most extreme law of this sort that I have ever seen in 20 years of writing about education.
Do you think the goal here, Stanley, is to drive conservative voices and perspectives out of the school system by attrition?
That's right. You got it, Todd. That's it. That's exactly what they want to do. And this goes further, I think, even than focusing on a few conservatives that happen to be dotted here and there. Really, Illinois is divided, as so many states are, between the sort of very blue area of Chicago, on the one hand, and the outlying areas of the state, which are mixed, but on the whole, much more conservative than Chicago itself. And we found with the original Illinois Civics Bill that they were able to get wealthy left-leaning foundations to to go out to the sticks of Illinois and try to train the teachers there to act like Chicago teachers in encouraging these leftist protests. And I think these progressives have gotten so power mad that they're not willing to tolerate school districts in conservative areas of the state who resist their mandates. And so they're really trying to crush resistance from anyone who's not on board with so-called woke perspective.
Dr. Stanley Kurtz is our guest, senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. We're talking about woke education mandates on this Monday afternoon. We'll discuss systemic racism and what role it plays in the new educational standards next.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
O morning star, of morning star, shineth on bright across the world.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. Stanley Kurtz of the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and author of a column for National Review Online titled "Ultra-Woke Illinois Mandates Are Top Threat to U.S. Education." Dr. Kurtz, you mentioned systemic racism a moment ago. What is it and what role does it play in these new educational standards?
Well, again, drawing ultimately on the inspiration of Marx, who said that the whole system is really based on the oppression of the capitalists. The idea of critical race theory is that the whole system is based on oppressive white supremacy, and that means every part of the system is somehow connected to that. So as conservatives often encounter, even if you have a conservative policy position on, let's say, the budget or on some matter of ecology, somehow that will all be, a way will be found to accuse that of playing into so-called systemic racism, because everything in the system is connected. And so once you affirm systemic racism, you are basically saying that the whole system is rotten, and anything that is not actively on the side of changing the system, we're going to call racist. Another way of looking at this is that people who believe in systemic racism look around and they say, you know, if you look at the number of people who go to college or who have higher incomes or who have better jobs, this is often disproportionate with respect to their race or their ethnicity. And the conclusion that these people draw is that must be due to systemic racism, whereas others would argue, no, it has to do with cultural differences. For example, some ethnicities or races might have a relatively weaker family structure where there are fewer fathers involved with the family, and two parents together would be much better for the child's education and general well-being. And so what we really ought to look at is bucking up the family structure strengthening the cultural attitudes toward the importance of the family, maybe having some policies that would strengthen the family. But critical race theory says, no, that's blaming the victim. That's false. The only legitimate explanation for disproportions between different ethnicities and various advantages has got to be racism of some sort. And that's where they invoke this idea of systemic racism, which you don't even have to point to a specific case. It goes beyond any individual person's attitude. It's a little bit like, frankly, the belief in witches. You know, you can barely disprove it. You know, it's just flying around there somewhere, and it's there because you believe it's there, and it's hard to disprove. And I'm afraid it's become like that.
How will conservative or religious teachers fare under these standards?
Not well, as you were saying before. They will be driven from the system, or they'll have to go into a kind of hiding. First of all, you can't get your license and certification as a teacher unless you go through training that will now be based on all of this. So if you go to an ed school or whatever, and you don't toe this line, you will fail. And then if you are a teacher and you're conservative or religious, you can be evaluated on this basis. Now, it's true that there may be schools of choice, denominational or parochial schools or private schools that don't have to hire teachers who are certified by the state. But many of them choose to voluntarily. And if they do, they'll either have to change their policy or they won't be able to find teachers who haven't been imbued with this ideology. But I think it will increase the pressure to drive conservatives and traditionally religious folk from the public school system. To me, this is not something that will limit so-called oppression, but this is itself an oppressive rule that will oppress conservatives and traditionally religious folk.
How have conservative and traditionally religious groups in Illinois responded so far to the prospect of these educational standards?
Well, they have pushed back, but they are in the minority. There is a group called the Thomas More Society, which has helped to sponsor a legal case with the Illinois Family Institute, which is allied with various religious groups in Illinois. And the Thomas More Society alleges that this new rule is a violation of basic constitutional rights, that it unconstitutionally compels speech, that it is a violation of religious liberty. And I have no doubt that if the rule is adopted, it will be challenged in court. Maybe it will even go up to the Illinois Supreme Court, and with luck, maybe to the U.S. Supreme Court. So I do think this will be challenged. I'm not enough of a lawyer to be able to say what will happen. Yes, on ordinary circumstances, you can't compel people to adhere to these sorts of political views, but there is some scope given to states to design their own curriculum. So it will be an interesting test of how far the state's authority over its curriculum runs, whether it can run to the extent of making people affirm belief in clearly specific political points of view, and even points of view that have religious implications against their most profound beliefs of conscience. We'll see. But there has been pushback, and I'm noticing more pushback by conservatives and religious people in Illinois as this issue has gotten more publicity. And I do think it is true that letters and emails are pouring into the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, and that may be able to turn the tide. On the other hand, people in Illinois who are conservative are somewhat discouraged because, like California, Illinois is very blue. The legislature is very dominated by the left and by the Democrats, and it's taken a little while for conservatives and traditionalists in Illinois to rouse themselves out of their pessimism and lethargy and battle this, but they are beginning to do that.
Tell us about the iCivics Coalition and how the Illinois Civics model is preparing to go nationwide.
Well, there is an alliance, a national alliance of groups that advocate this action civics, the sort of civics where teachers are mandated to discuss politics in the classroom, current politics, and where teachers are mandated to organize their students to protest or to lobby about current issues. I think that this is a terrible and completely unjustified politicization of the classroom, but there is literally a national movement that wants to push things in this direction, and it's led by an organization called iCivics. Now, iCivics was founded by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, a moderate Republican justice, so you would think it was a moderate group, but it's been taken over by woke leftists who believe in critical race theory, and they are pushing this leftist action, Civics, and they get a lot of money because iCivics, as it was originally founded, was designed to create video games to teach civics. So they get a lot of money for the video games. And using this, they've been able to mastermind this coalition. And within probably a few weeks or a month or so, that coalition is going to go public and going to call on the whole country, every state in the nation, to adopt action civics style laws modeled on Illinois and Massachusetts. My fear is that the Biden administration will go along with that, and that many conservatives will be fooled, again, because when they hear the word civics, they think, ah, yes, civics, that's what we need, civics. But they don't realize that the word civics has been taken over by these leftists led by iCivics. So from now on, when you hear a proposal to teach more civics, you better look into it and discover whether it's traditional civics or this new left-leaning politicized action civics.
Dr. Stanley Kurtz is senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. He's author of a column for National Review Online titled "Ultra-Woke Illinois Mandates Are Top Threat to U.S. Education." You can find a link to the Ethics and Public Policy Center and to Dr. Kurtz's column at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. Kurtz, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Our series, The Words of Scripture, continues in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, February the 1st. The Word with Pastor Will Wheaton will be Kingdom.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.